Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, O Lord, bring you praise. May the words that I speak be seasoned with love and grace. May the words, O Lord, that I choose to say bring glory and not shame to your name this day. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Acts, the first chapter, the first 11 verses. Hear now the word of God. Theophilus, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning, right up to the day when he was taken up into heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed his apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed them that he was alive with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking to them about God's kingdom. While they were eating together, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. He said, "This is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" And Jesus replied, "It isn't for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Today is Ascension Sunday. Now, it's 43 days since Easter. Christ ascended into heaven on the 40th day. If Easter is always on Sunday, what day will be Ascension Day every year? Thursday. So, why do we celebrate Ascension Sunday and not Ascension Day? Because y'all don't want to come to church on Thursday. I don't know, but that's what we do. We celebrate the Ascension on a Sunday because we don't like to come to church on Thursday unless it's Maundy Thursday. You got that for free, and I know you're already glad that you're here. Communication is a hard thing to do. When I begin reading these 11 verses, it kind of strikes me. Luke tells us that all the things that he summarized what Jesus had been doing for 40 days. He talks about, or tells Theophilus, that during these 40 days, he taught the disciples about the kingdom of God. If we read the Synoptic Gospels and we read the teachings of Jesus, and throughout his ministry, the majority of his teachings has to do with the kingdom of God. They think one thing about the kingdom of God, and Jesus tells them it's something else. The disciples and the Jewish people of that day are looking for a Messiah. They're looking for a king, it looks like David. And every time Jesus starts talking about the kingdom of God, he will say, "The kingdom of God is like," and he'll tell a parable. "The kingdom of God is like," and he tells another parable. And even after his death, and they watched the way he died, the way he gave his life, Jesus is teaching them in these 40 days about the kingdom of God, and then they want to know, "When are you going to come into your kingdom? When are you going?" We watched them do to you what they did to you, and that's not right. Your kingdom needs to come in, and let's get these Romans out of here. And I'm thinking, Jesus is shaking his head. What do I have to do to communicate what the kingdom of God is like? And then he says, the Holy Spirit's coming, and you're going to be able, in power, he will reveal to you. Communication was hard for Jesus and his apostles. It's still hard, isn't it? It's hard to communicate with people. Sometimes in the church, it's real hard too. I'm just going to tell you. It's absolutely difficult to communicate with you. Somewhere in the life of this church, many years ago, somebody decided to send out probably by mail, a newsletter every week. Is that right? Somewhere along the way, y'all stopped doing that. And you started doing an email, right? There were probably announcements on the back of the bulletins or in the bulletins, right? I'm talking back in 1968, 69, 70. You did that. You had announcements probably in church. And then over the last several years, we have been doing videos of announcements. Several weeks ago or whatever, sometime back, it was brought to my attention that sometimes when we start thinking about worship, the video announcements might distract from people's ability to worship. I'm just saying what I'm saying. And so we said we'll reframe them. So for the prayer, I might lift up a praise of something we've done, and it was successful, and it was great. And then before the benediction, I will announce something so it does not distract. Okay? When I decided to do that, a little over a week ago, I asked Alan to put an announcement in the coming up Kingswood. I think it says, please contact us. Please contact, huh? Let us know. That was the announcement title. And the let us know announcement said, if you read this announcement, will you email Alan and tell him that you read it? We have 500 plus members, not to mention friends of Kingswood and people who are not members of Kingswood who get this email every Friday. We had 9 people who read the announcement. So I've told him to put it back in the coming up Kingswood for this past Friday. We had 8. And not the same people. We didn't have any repeats, did we? So 9 people read it one week, and 8 people read it the next week, and a bunch of you don't read it at all. And it makes me understand how Jesus feels. How do you communicate with these people? How do we communicate? And in the midst of all of that, Jesus says, I'm giving up. I'm leaving you. I'm on a fast train to the right hand of the Father. But coming is the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive power. And now it's your job to communicate with the world. It's your job, because you are to be my witnesses, not just in Jerusalem, right across the Kidron Valley. They were up on the Mount of Olives looking across, and he said, not just over there in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's your job to communicate. You are to be my witnesses. And that's your challenge, to communicate to the world about the good news of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we found is, like you will find, that communicating that is difficult. Because the only way you can be a witness is to actually have experienced it. Hearsay evidence doesn't hold up in a court of law. You really can't talk about what is done for somebody else. To be a witness, we need to be able to say, this is what was going on in my life. This is the way I lived out my life. And when I found Jesus, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was transformed and I was set free from the things that held me down. The sin. Whatever that sin is. Anger. Unforgiveness. All the things you can think of. I became a different person. That's what Jesus has meant to me. And that's how he changed my life. And that's how he continues to change my life. You got to be able to have lived it to be able to tell people about it. In 1998, I was appointed to the Philadelphia United Methodist Church in Harlem, Georgia, on Old Louisville Road. That is a geographic nightmare I just told you about. Philadelphia, United Methodist Church, on Old Louisville Road in Harlem, Georgia. I was appointed there, and it wasn't long after I got there that I heard some of the old-timers, there weren't any new-timers, but there were some old-timers there, and they said, we love this church exactly the way it is. We love this church exactly the way it is. It's just the best. Then this guy started saying, this church is the best kept secret in all of Columbia County. Now for me, as the pastor who was sent there, those two phrases sounded like, for people who know what a chalkboard is, a thumbnail going across it. Right? But they kept saying it. These people were God-fearing, praying people who had faith beyond measure. I was just glad to be there in their midst because of their deep faith in God and what God had done in their life. But they wanted that little church to be exactly the same, never change. It wasn't like it had 5,000 members. It didn't have 500 members. We had 75 members. And 55 in church. And one day, I had all I could stand. So, and it had to be the Holy Spirit, because I would have never written this down to preach. But I asked the question, how many of you want this church to always be the same? And those of them who were willing to raise their hand, which was about half of them. So then I asked the question, well, look down the pew, and if you see somebody, think about those people, that person's family. Are any of that person's family not here? Is their husband or their wife, are they a believer? Are their children a part of this church? Are they a part of any church? Look at yourself. Are you alone in your as you sit on the pew? Is your husband or wife at home? Are your children not here? Do the people you love not here? Are they at any church? And then I said the most condemning thing. I said, if you saw somebody looking down the pew from you whose family is not here at this church, what you're really saying to them is, I would rather your family go to hell than to come to this church and mess up what we have. That's true. You can't say you love Jesus and not share him. And if you aren't willing to be a witness, you're really telling the people you love, or you say that you love, you would rather them go to hell than to come mess up our church. The only job we were given when Jesus was leaving, ascending to heaven, was to be my witnesses. And the question becomes, are we? And if we're not, why not? Has Jesus not done anything in your life? If Jesus is doing things in your life, you need to be willing to tell about it. I found this story about a preschool teacher. I think preschool, letting out on Friday, is on my brain, but that's what happens when you... There was a preschool teacher who was at the end of the school day. She had told them to sit down, please be quiet, quit picking on each other, quit beating on each other, just be quiet. And this, she looked over and there was a little circle of these little 3 or 4 year olds. And she heard this little boy say, do y'all know Jesus? And she looked and the little boy was bringing out of his bag one of those little Gideon New Testaments. Y'all know what I'm talking about, real small. His mother had marked John 3:16. The kid couldn't read. And he pulls out the little New Testament, and he begins to read, or memorized. He says John 3:16 to the little kids around him. And the teacher, when he pulls it out, she sits down and listens. Do y'all know Jesus? And he read John 3, he memorized it, spoke it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And she began to cry. Because she was an adult, had been a professing Christian most of her life, and she couldn't remember the last time she asked somebody, do you know Jesus? Somewhere in her life, she would got scared that she would offend somebody. They wouldn't be accepted. Somebody might think she was a Jesus freak. Somebody might think a whole lot of things, and so she wouldn't speak. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? When I was at Philadelphia, somewhere about the third year I was there, this couple and their two children started coming to church. About 3 or 4 months later, they all decided to join the church. The wife, who had been previously married and had a son, she needed to be baptized to join the church. She had never professed her faith in Christ. She joined the church. She was baptized. Her son, by a previous marriage, we baptized him as a professing member. The dad wanted to have his baptism reaffirmed. He had been raised in the Catholic Church, and so we did all that. And then we baptized their infant. It was a glorious day. Within the year or sometime, maybe a little longer than that, that husband began praying with me every single Sunday at 10:45 before I would go preach for probably 8 years, every single Sunday. We prayed about a lot of stuff, a lot of people, and he prayed for me each week. And if he couldn't come to church, he had somebody else praying for me, but he didn't miss more than 2 Sundays a year. But about 3 months after they joined the church, his wife came to me and said, everything I know about Jesus Christ, I learned from you. And everything I know about being a Christian, I've learned from you. And she couldn't have stuck a knife in my heart anymore, because all of a sudden, I was convicted. She needs to find somebody, a better Christian to look at. Because I am a terrible witness for Jesus Christ. If all she knows about Jesus is what I've taught her, we've got to go. I need to do studying some more. And if she's looking to me to live a Christian life, I got to find her some better examples. I've got to be a better example. You see, it's the way we live and the way we talk and the way that we are powerful witnesses. This is my last story about preschools. This is a this probably 20 years ago. It was right before Halloween. The church was having a Halloween carnival. And one of the mothers of a preschooler came in and began to talk to the directors, telling her how disappointed she was that a church would have a Halloween carnival and promote satanic and demonic things at a Halloween carnival. So the director was doing as good a job as she could, saying she was sorry. She apologized that she was offended. She was sorry that all of that. I understand if you can't be there. But they're having a Halloween carnival. About 3 weeks later, this lady's little girl, 3-year-old little girl, is sitting on a rug stacking up blocks. And anybody who's ever stacked blocks knows that you start with the biggest blocks and you get your good foundation and then you get smaller as you go. Well, this 3-year-old didn't know that yet. And so she started with big blocks and went immediately to small blocks and then stuck some big blocks on top of it. And then, you know, it gets up about that high and you know what happens? It falls. And this little girl, who should not know any different, said a really bad word. Bad word blocks, where everybody in the whole room could hear it. This sweet little girl. The teacher was mortified. Oh no, everybody's going to be saying that bad word in school. So they had to talk to the little girl. And then the director had to talk to the parent. We don't know where she heard these words. We know that she did not hear them here at school. But I sure hope that you will take time to talk to her about the use of this bad word. See, talk is cheap. If we live cheap. If we're going to be a witness for Jesus, our talk and our actions have to match. That's the only job we have. And we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit as we allow the Holy Spirit to work and act in our lives. And we do it. And never stop doing it. And never stop doing it. There's an African-American spiritual written in the 1800s. I love it because in some ways, it was true for that time in the South. But it's also a beautiful metaphor for who we as Christians should be. I want to end with this. There is a king and a captain high, and he's coming by and by, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. You can hear his legions charging in the regions of the sky, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. There's a man they thrust aside who was tortured till he died, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. He was hated and rejected. He was scorned and crucified, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. When he comes, he'll be crowned by saints and angels when he comes. They'll be shouting out Hosanna to the man that men denied, and I'll kneel among the cotton when he comes. We're called to be disciples, called to be witnesses in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do it till Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, we can kneel among those we've witnessed to. I don't know why you don't witness. I know why I don't witness. But that's the only reason, the only thing Jesus wanted us to do when he left. I hope that we can be better witnesses. Let us pray. Lord God, we have not been the witnesses you've called us to be. We've not been the witnesses in the power of the Holy Spirit, individually or collectively. But may you, when you come, Find us to be faithful witnesses in the power of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.